We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the wild card edition of the Prime Point Show here on RotoGrinders. I am Britt Devine, joined by my two usual co-hosts. This is a streak of, 2 weeks in a row? We've gotten the whole gang together. It seems like the Curse Show is finally back on track for all of us getting together. But happy to be here with Graham and Jake from Fantasy Points. Jake, what's going on? I think we got most of the teams we wanted to see in the playoffs. I'm glad the Packers made it. I think they... Jordan Love is playing good, and maybe they can cause a little noise against Dallas. We'll see how that game plays out. The Steelers, right? I don't know. Maybe they're playing better than they used to be. They got rid of Matt Canada. They switched to Mason Rudolph. Now they're getting 80-yard touchdowns every single game. I think we got most of the teams into the playoffs. Is there anything, any team didn't make it that you wanted to see in?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd much rather see Jacksonville play than Pittsburgh. I get that, Jacksonville did taper off a little bit, and, Pittsburgh is a bit of a team on the rise after firing Canada, but I much prefer watching Trevor Lawrence's passes go through his wide receiver's hands than watching his Pittsburgh offense.
Oh, my goodness. I'm a Jags fan, and that was one of the worst collapses I've seen, and I've been watching this team for so long. I'm with you, though. A Steelers-Bills game might be a little bit of a laugher. That the weather in that game looks horrendous too. That total has fallen completely off the board.
Yeah, I saw Kevin Roth on Scores and Odds. He posted an alert. I wish I need it to ping me in my brain at 38.5, and I think that's dropped down to 36.5
now.
35.5. It's gotten bet up a little bit here. We always like to talk weather. We always like to talk all of this stuff, and we'll get to that in the DFS section and the sports betting. But we always like to start out with some of our takeaways. And I guess I'll go first here. And my main takeaway as we head into the playoffs is, what on earth happened to these Philadelphia Eagles guys? I mean, what an epic collapse in terms of offensive and defensive production, specifically considering last year when you saw them just blitz every team out of the league. They make the Super Bowl, pass to score, run to win, right? That was what they did. Now it's do nothing to win, because this team has just been so bad. I think they're missing the offensive coordinator. Putting Matt Patricia in charge of anything at an NFL level is obviously not working out for them. Jalen Hurts had that injury. When was that? Somewhere in the middle of the season somewhere, and everything just seemed to fall apart for them as a team. And they're, 3-point favorites against the Bucs? I haven't bet this game. If I had, I might lean the Bucs here, even though the Bucs sort of whimpered into the playoffs against the Panthers last week.
Yep.
Does anyone have a take on what happened to this Eagles team, considering they were in the Super Bowl? I know there's that Super Bowl loser hangover. They always end up stinking the next year, it seems like. But just a collapse of epic proportions on both sides of the ball for them.
Yeah, let's rewind the clock a little bit. I mean, they were going into a three-game, coming off like a five-game win streak, beating Dallas, KC, and Buffalo, and then they just, you know, kind of fell apart here against everybody that meted the schedule was pointing out: Niners, Cowboys, Seahawks on the road. You know, obviously schedule was a big part of it. I think defensively, this team is just was bound for regression and just like really, really hit hard. Obviously Darius Slay has been hurt. They've missed a ton of guys up front. The problem though, is this game is really tricky. Jake, I want to get your opinion on this too. Like Baker Mayfield is not healthy. He has a ribs injury. He did not look good last week. He kind of looked shaky in their prior game where he got hurt. Like, I'm on Eagles 2.5. It does not feel good. I'm definitely holding my nose. I have not put that on as like an official bet, but the Bucs are pretty beat up too. Jake, what do you think of this game? Because this game and Dolphins Chiefs, I think, is the two trickiest games this weekend.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I mean, on the surface, obviously you want to really like Baker Mayfield in a fantastic matchup against this really, really bad Eagles secondary. At the same time, I mean, like you noted, Graham, he's clearly not hurt. My thinking is, though, I mean, 80% Baker against a terrible secondary, is that just regular Baker Mayfield? I'm not sure, but I think we'll have to keep an eye on his practice statuses. Obviously, he's going to play, but, you know, just to get a gauge of how healthy he is, because it looked pretty bad last week.
I might have a take on that in the next segment, because I don't know, maybe I'm giving something away a little early on that one. But Baker's prop is out, and looks a little low to me. Considering who his opponent's going to be. Jake, what's something you're looking at, a takeaway you have as we head into the playoffs here?
Yeah, so Devin Singletary was an uber bell cow when it mattered most. Week 18 was a must-win game for Houston. Devin Singletary played on 88% of snaps, ran a route on 77% of dropbacks, and he earned 100% of backfield touches. That's legitimately rare and legitimately incredible usage for any running back in the NFL. To put that into perspective, there's only been one other game this year where a running back has earned a carry share over 90%. That was Kyron Williams in week 5. Devin Singletary just earned a backfield touch share of 100%. He's going to dominate usage in the playoffs. Only 5,700 on DraftKings this week. Screaming value on the six.
Yeah. And even against Cleveland, I think you got to give him a strong. There's another running back. It's a little cheaper. I'm going to be on his prop a little bit later, but I think you can get away with some cheap running backs. You got Kyron Williams, who is certainly priced down compared to what I would expect a player of his usage. I don't know if they're adjusting too much for the matchup, but we'll see how that goes. Graham, what kind of takeaways you got here?
Yeah, I was noting just a second ago, this Dolphins Chiefs game is one of the trickiest on the slate too. Like, you know, Dolphins have obviously just been absolutely obliterated by injuries. They've also been kind of fraud-ish. They've played down to or played up to really, you know, bad defenses, and they've kind of played down to better opponents. But you know, you can say the same thing about the Chiefs. And I wanted to start the show by getting you guys' opinion on this too. Like, you know, the Chiefs have been, you know, favored by 3 or more points this season 13 times, and they're, you know, 6-6 against the spread in those games. They're 4 here. Mahomes is, you know, tilting on the sidelines, throwing tantrums after games. What do you guys think of this Chiefs Dolphins game? I think, you know, in general, like I want to back Chiefs here and just back Mahomes as the better quarterback. But I also can't get over the fact that Chiefs really have really underwhelmed for the entirety of the back half of the season here, and they just have not been able to generate explosives. What do you think of Chiefs Dolphins?
Let me talk myself into a Chiefs bet here, because this is the warm weather team going into Chex Notes 0 degree or below wind chill with some possible snow. It looks pretty ugly. Kansas City, now there's global warming, so no one really gets to play in these temperatures anymore, but if there's a team more ready for that, it's going to be Kansas City. And I don't know, man, a playoff hardened Patrick Mahomes putting everything on the line. How many of those they just missed getting a sack, 12-yard scampers is he going to have in this game? You know, 4 or 5 of them probably. You know he's going to put this team on his back. And I just think it's Miami should have lost to the Bills probably by what? 17 to 21. There was a lot of extra turnover luck in that game. they can't stop anybody, I don't think, here. Even a depleted Chiefs offense with all of the injuries they have on defense, going on the road into the cold against Patrick Mahomes. I haven't bet it yet, but it looks like I'm going to be betting the Chiefs here, Graham. Jake, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Miami, like you noted, super beat up. They really don't have any edge defenders left. I mean, they might have to kick Christian Wilkins to the outside. Yeah. That's how beat up their defensive line is right now. And, you know, I get that Kansas City obviously has fallen way short of expectations, but I do think there is something to, you know, this warm weather team that's fallen short against pretty much every good opponent they've played, you know, in 0 degree weather. I lean Kansas City for sure there. Although, you know, I really don't see Kansas City making a super deep playoff run either. It is a tough game to figure out.
This game, what's the total? It's looking
44. Yeah, I know. It's just the weather. It's the weather concerns. I mean, there's going to be a polar vortex blowing through.
44 seems hot for a polar vortex.
Yeah.
No, right?
Yeah, this game, man, I think if we didn't have any weather concerns, it'd probably be in the high 40s, probably 47 and a half, 48. That's where my numbers would have it. But yeah, I think 44 is pretty fair for the weather concerns on a Tuesday. It'll probably come down if it does look really, really crappy on, you know, Thursday, Friday night.
But yeah, there's a couple of takeaways. We mentioned the weather. So the weather, real quick for some of you guys, it's Tuesday. But if this is the first show, whatever, we do like to get some of that information out to you guys. The Pittsburgh at Buffalo game. If you want to do any screen share here, this would be great here. I got the weather page up from Kevin Roth. Cold, windy, potentially some snow. Temps in the 20s, sustained winds 15 miles per hour to around 30 miles an hour. I mean, that is an ugly, ugly game to be playing in. You know, the feels like temperature is probably closer to zero than it is to 20 in that game if the winds are gusting around 30 miles an hour with some snow. If that holds come Sunday morning, this total is going to come back down to that 34, 35. I think a couple of people have been betting it up, but pay attention to that one. And Kansas City, right? The polar vortex around 10 degrees at tip kickoff, closer to zero by end of game, but with the wind, the feels like temperature well below 0 degrees. I mean, I remember playing football, diving into the snowbanks. That's okay when it's like 30 degrees outside, but not when it's zero and windy. That does not sound like fun to be doing in Kansas
Britt,
City.
Did you see what Zeke said last week in that Jets after the Jets Patriots game?
No, I did not. What was that?
It was hilarious. He was like, yeah, you know, I've always wanted to play in a snow game like that. And then I played it and I was like, yeah, that sucked.
No, it's much more fun as a kid diving into the giant snowbanks that the snowplow's done than actually playing a real football game with people.
Yeah.
I can almost agree with that one. But yeah, those are the two games right now with a lot of weather. And there's a small chance of rain, it looks like, in the Tampa Bay game. You don't really know that. That's almost a full week away. It's Tuesday show. That game's on Monday night. So we won't get too much into that, but yeah, just pay attention to the weather. So there were a couple of takeaways we had. Let's get to the stands. And I'm looking to take it over on a possibly injured quarterback who had an absolutely horrible week 18 game against a team that generally hasn't really allowed too many passing yards because you could run all over them. Maybe you'll figure that out by the time we get to the end of the show, but his yardage prop looks a little too low if he's even that 80% we expect him to be come Monday or possibly even better. Jake, what are you doing for a stand this week?
Yeah, I mean, I got to love the offensive rookie of the year in a near perfect coverage matchup. This is a really great spot, and we will talk about that shortly.
Do you have you accessed the votes ahead of time? Are you the SEC with the Bitcoin ETF? Do you have the inside information?
I mean, I think that's unlike the Bitcoin ETF, I think that's pretty much resolved.
We'll get to that one. Sorry, the investing and all the other fun stuff I do creeping into the show here. Graham, what's the stand you're looking to take today?
Yeah, hopefully the crypto, you know, crypto guys made some initial money here. It seems like
someone made money today.
Yeah, someone did for sure. Yeah, I'm looking to make some money in this Packers Cowboys game. I think if you're like, you know, building SGPs this weekend, that's the game to target along with Rams Lions. But there's a passing yardage prop on this game that I absolutely love in FanDuel. We'll get to it in the betting section in a bit.
Yeah, everyone in the world is betting the Matt Stafford over. I got that at 260 posted on Scores and Odds on Monday. It's already up to the mid 270s. I think on most books, everyone's playing this revenge angle, but Graham's got another one from a different game for us here. So before we get to some of our DFS talk, I need to tell you guys a little bit about SimLabs. You can use SimLabs to generate DFS lineups Through the power of simulation, it combines data from every aspect of the slate to churn out lineups that match your preferences. And in just a few clicks, you can have hundreds of well-built correlated lineups ready for whatever contest type you're playing. Be sure to check out the link in our description for more info. And all combo and NFL premium subscribers at RotoGrinders have access to the NFL Sim Labs tool. Go check that out. A fun way. The lineup HQs, you can still use that. I like playing around with that. If you like the simulations, you can do that too. A great new tool here at RotoGrinders. So what we've been doing the whole season for the DFS talk is, going over a couple players that we wanted to maybe talk about. But with just six games, I think we've all just pulled out a specific player or some sort of trend that we want to talk about from each game. And we're just going to kind of go game by game here, talking about it basically as quickly as possible so we can get to some of the other stuff in the show. But let's start with Cleveland at Houston. It looks like, I don't know, Jake, is this you? Flacco, Cooper, Njoku. Flacco is elite. The passing, I was hoping his yardage prop would still come out in like the 250s, and they jacked it all the way up into the 270s. I think I'm still going to end up taking a long, hard look at the over there because they're playing throw the ball deep. If Joe Flacco throws an interception or two, that's cool. Our defense can back him up, and we'll flip that around, and he can keep chucking it to Amari Cooper and David Njoku, and you don't really see anything wrong with that game plan this week.
No, not at all. I mean, this, I think, is a very, very strong spot. You look at some of these totals this week. I mean, Green Bay, Dallas, Rams, Lions really stand out, according to Vegas. But Cleveland, Houston, even though it's, got a pretty similar total to Miami, Kansas City, and Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, I think it's a very, very strong game to stack here. Tons of pieces to love. Obviously, the Browns offense is a spot to attack. Like I noted at the top of the show, Devin Singletary is a very, very strong value. CJ Stroud and Nico Collins have a very strong schematic matchup, which we will talk about when we get to the tools. Dalton Schultz has a top three matchup if you just look at how Cleveland has fared against tight ends since week 12. So there are a lot of really fun pieces in this game, and I think this is going to be one of my favorite games to stack. It is a shame it's the first game on the slate. I would prefer to have some more late slop options if I'm, going crazy with games, game stacks here, but man, it just feels like a great spot. I'm curious what you think, Graham.
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely with you. I mean, we've been on Flacco for basically since he started, this game is
the first game, right? We were questioning it, but then after we saw what they did, I mean, this has just been a DFS and prop over goal.
Yeah. And the best part is, it's just so highly, highly condensed. Cooper missed practice today, but he's going to play. It's just going to be Cooper and Njoku getting like 60% of the first read, which is just the nuts. And this Texan side might be even more condensed too. Noah Brown has been banged up for basically the whole back half of the season. He didn't practice today, along with Robert Woods, who's been dust. But again, it's just fewer routes for these guys, and it'll be even more condensed. It's a tough spot. I will say Browns are really, really tough on the outside in terms of just, allowing yardage. They're near the bottom of the entire league outside wide receivers, but I don't even know if that really matters because Nico is just going to get funneled the ball like 12, 15 times in this spot. And it's with CJ Stroud. I'm just going to keep living and dying with these Stroud Nico stacks too. Absolutely love this game. And I'm with you, Jake. This weekend's honestly really chopped up for DFS. The Eagles game is on Monday. So we're going to be taking advantage of late swaps. I'm with you. I think people are probably going to, my lean, and Jake, I'm curious for like game theory on this. My lean right now is I think this game will probably be a slightly under-owned for these reasons. People are going to want to play a late swap. They're going to want to get to the higher total games. And I think this game, if I'm going to take an over this weekend, it's this Texans-Browns game.
Yeah, I'm with you, Graham. I mean, I do think people just really want to play Joe Flacco at this point, so I'm not sure if he'll come under own, but I do.
Yeah, that's fair. People missed out. Things,
yeah, I was looking at the whole, so I'm personally, how I'm playing this is there's like five or six different slates you can play. I like more games, so I'm playing the Saturday through Monday slate. That's all I'm playing this weekend. So the games are a little bit smaller than some of the other ones, but I'm looking at Flacco as my quarterback, even in the full slate, because he's in the dome. You know he's going to pass. And I would at his price, right? I would play him maybe not 10 out of 10, but 9 out of 10 times over Patrick Mahomes in the polar vortex with what that Kansas City offense has been doing. And I don't think their ownership, maybe on the two game slate for Saturday, Flacco might end up being the highest owned quarterback.
Yeah.
People are going to play Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game. I don't care what the temperature is and what he's done. So that's a quick thought on that game. Back to Miami, KC. This one, it really boils down to, at least for me, is what's going on with the Miami players. What's going on in the backfield? Mostert limited today, and I think Achane was even limited. We'll have to see how that – I would expect Achane to play. We'll have to see what happens with Mostert after he's not been able to play for 2 weeks in a row. But the what is it, 7.6 yards per carry for Achane this season, just absolutely absurd. If somehow Mostert doesn't play, we're going to have to take a really long look at him and in all formats, almost a lock button, if he's going to be getting all the work against this KC offense. And then on the flip side, for the receiving game, we got to see if Jalen Waddle's able to play. Had the high ankle sprain, missed last week. See if he's able to suit up for this one. If not, is Tyreek Hill, who's probably still not 100%, is he going to get funneled the ball? Is he going to be effective? I think, if anything, that's just making me think a little bit more about this KC bet. Might have to put that in after the show. But, Graham, what's your takes on this Miami KC game?
Yeah, I think Mostert and Waddle are going to play. Today, Mike McDaniel was saying that, you know, he's optimistic for both. And I think McDaniel's been pretty good in terms of injury news this season. And I kind of trust him on that. And, you know, obviously, you know, last week we kind of saw this offense, you know, without Waddle, and maybe even the week prior, you know, it's Tyreek's incredible. They do so many things to get him open and get him the ball in space. But, you know, Waddle is just massive. Chiefs play the most two high safety coverage in the league, like 75% of pass dropbacks. They're going to do that again this week. They're not going to let Tyreek beat them deep. Obviously, they know Tyreek insanely well. We get so many cool revenge angles in this weekend. We get a potential next one next week. If the Browns do win, Flacco against the Ravens would be interesting. But yeah, this game, man, I'm struggling with it, you know, with the weather and everything right now. Obviously, I don't want to freak out about weather on Tuesday night, but it does look dicey. I will say, if they get Waddle back, I'm going to be taking Waddle overs, especially with the Chiefs playing too high so much. Waddle's done some solid damage against two high this season, and Tyreek's been the guy against one high. Anytime Tua gets one high safety looks, he's going to be looking to get Tyreek in single coverage on the outside. So, obviously this game's up in the air with the Dolphins side. I think the Chiefs side, though, is pretty simple. Like, if you're playing Mahomes, I would prefer to stack him with Rashee Rice over Kelce at this point. I think Rashee Rice has just a significantly higher ceiling. Obviously, tougher outside matchup with Ramsey out there, but Kelce just hasn't had the humongous ceiling this season. Obviously, he'll be probably as healthy as he's been. The Dolphins have not been great against tight ends this season, but Rice at this point, I think, just projects significantly better. Jake, Chiefs are weirdly condensed at this point. You know, it's kind of nice. You know, we were struggling to stack Mahomes early in the season, but I will say this definitely feels like maybe the best spot to stack Mahomes, just because it is condensed and playoff game. We know Mahomes is just going to throw to his best players.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think I'm going to get to Mahomes a ton on this slate, yeah. But I definitely agree with your Rashee Rice take. And I do wonder about Travis Kelce at 6,100. That is a pretty tempting price. You know, I get that he hasn't shown the ceiling, but it's a playoff game, so Taylor Swift will probably be there.
The Swifties are mad. 20% boost. They got to pony up and buy that the Peacock service for a week or two.
Is this the Peacock game?
Yeah,
I'll have to go back to my stream here.
All right, let's get to the Pittsburgh Buffalo game again. Some weather in this one.
Yeah.
What do we like here? So I've noticed Najee Harris over the past couple of weeks. I mean, his usage has gone through the roof. Now they've been winning, so I think that's a part of it as well. But I think he's pretty interesting as a reasonably low owned and low price running back in an attempt to get some of these other high price players in your lineups this week. Jake, do you have any take on that? Do you have another running back you might want to look at in this game?
Yeah, I do like Najee, especially paired with the Pittsburgh defense. I think that's, you know, probably the easiest way to see Najee getting there. That said, you know, the spread here is Buffalo minus 10. Jalen Warren sees a 16% increase in total backfield usage when Pittsburgh is trailing by 7+. You see, you know, 55-45 split, generally speaking, in neutral game script in favor of Najee Harris. But, you know, when Pittsburgh gets down, Jalen Warren earns about 60% of backfield usage. So that is a notable bump for Warren. I'm interested in both guys a bit, but man, they're going to be tough clicks just given where Devin Singletary's priced at 5,700.
Yeah, Graham, what do you like in this game? If the weather, let's say it holds true, and we turn on the game Sunday morning and it's 20 degrees, the wind's whipping, maybe there's a little bit of snow, maybe there's not. What do you think we can do? Is Mason Rudolph going to keep getting these 70-yard touchdown passes every week? I think at some point that luck has to run out. and their offense wasn't really moving until that happened in the Baltimore game. To me, this is like this is a Josh Allen puts the team on his back game, rushing, passing. I'm on a couple of his props. I'll talk about those in a little bit here, but a Josh Allen takeover game, is that possible?
Yeah, I think it's an Allen takeover game, and I think he gets his guy Diggs. I mean, him and Stephon Diggs have just missed on some massive, massive plays. Obviously, they have missed on a deep shot, you know, last week. 2 weeks ago, they missed on another deep shot. Diggs ran a gauntlet, tough schedule. You know, obviously, he's not the same, you know, explosive outside perimeter receiver, you know, getting separation at will that he once was. All of that being said, though, a great spot for him in terms of coverage shell matchup. And I don't know how much the Bills are going to throw in this spot. It's interesting because, you know, the Steelers are 13.5 point implied total, Britt. Not great. You know, the huge favorites. We've seen their new OC, Joe Brady, lean, run heavy in certain game plans, certain matchups. I think, I'm going to be taking James Cook rushing attempt overs once we get some attempt over prop markets. I'll be on that in this game. I'm full fading Steelers, full fading Najee. You know, I think his recent run has just been all game script related. He looks great. He looks fully back, but they've won three straight, had great game script, basically never trailed in any of those three games, 19, 27, 26 carries. They're going to be trailing a ton in this game. So I like Jalen Warren. I like the rationale Jake put behind that. And, you know, Bills might be super condensed too. Gabe Davis injured his PCL. Something to note for this game. Obviously, we don't know practice reports yet. I'm going to be stunned if Gabe Davis plays. It was non-contact. Might be a nice boost for Khalil Shakir in this game. But again, you know, Bills might not have to throw a ton. We're waiting on weather in this spot. But Bills passing game definitely going to be a little more condensed this weekend with no Gabe.
Yeah, I if the weather is as bad as it's projected, that's when I would probably lean a little bit more on the Steelers, because the weather can be a great equalizer in these games. I put on scores and odds. Steelers defensive touchdown was plus 1200. Give me that in Josh Allen in the weather. That sounds like a reasonable bet to make. I think it's down to plus 1100, but a little sprinkle on that one. But if the weather holds as bad as expected, I think that's when I would probably turn to a couple of the Steelers. Weather keeps the game a little closer, more turnovers. We know Josh Allen's capable of that. So that's a quick run through of that game. Graham, you had some takes on Green Bay Dallas. What do you think's going to play out here?
Yeah, really, really sick game. So Dallas has obviously just been awesome at home, averaging 37.4 points per game, nearly 430 total yards of offense per game at home too. Obviously, we're seeing some just massive splits. Dak Prescott's been crushing at home. Brandon Cooks is averaging like 65 yards per game at home. His prop is 36.5, and it feels gross to bet Brandon Cooks overs, but I do like it in this game. I like all the overs in this game. I'll be talking through Jordan Love in a little bit, but yeah, just chasing all the scoring in this game. Dallas has, I think, been really, really good against bottom 15 opponents in terms of, you know, offensive scoring, but they've given up some points against good offenses. You know, Jordan Love is running hot. He's going to have his receivers back this weekend. Aaron Jones looks fantastic. Their run game is better than ever. And Love is getting a ton of clean pockets. You know, this is a obviously terrific front seven against Dallas that can, you know, get pressure against anybody, but Packers have just been awesome to get, you know, giving Love clean pockets. They've been trucking in the run game. I'm not on Packers plus 7.5. I can't get there just because I think Dallas is so good at home. It's just such a massive edge. And I really do think Cowboys kind of truck them, but I like Packers side too. This game is so fun to stack. It's got so many fun angles because Packers receivers are kind of spread out. You know, we're going to probably get Christian Watson back. Dontavian Wicks has been balling. Jaden Reed's been like a top 15 fantasy receiver for the whole back half of the season. A really, really fun game to stack up. And I think, you know, if you're playing just the Sunday slate, this game is just going to be massive, massive chalk.
Aaron Rodgers leaves and all the young receivers come in and start, you know,
balling. I know.
They're all balling while Aaron Rodgers is stuck causing drama on TV because that's all he has left to do until next year. Jake, any quick thoughts on the Green Bay Dallas game before we get to I think what most people have is the game of the week?
Yeah, this is a fantastic schematic matchup for Dak Prescott, and also worth noting, five different quarterbacks have had their best PFF passing grade of the season against Green Bay. Very easy to see a massive passing performance for Dak here.
All right, let's get to the Rams in Detroit. We've got Stafford revenge, Goff revenge. You had the hot Rams team with Matthew Stafford playing at an MVP level to close out the season with all of his healthy weapons. You've got the Lions at home where they play well. It's indoors. This is everything we want. Like, I would want to see Kansas City and Miami indoors. I'd want to see Buffalo and Pittsburgh indoors. I want every game indoors in the playoffs when it matters. These teams don't do it. But at least Detroit, right? Hey, we're up north. Let's build a dome for everybody. Seems pretty smart to do, if you ask me. Jake, where are we doing in this game? Stafford, which receiver has the better matchup for DFS, for sports betting? What do you think of Stafford's prop lines getting up into the mid-270s now? Can he still hit the over there? There's just so much to like in this game.
Yeah, I do still like Stafford overs in the mid-270s. Not my favorite bet on the board, but I still think pretty strong here. Looking at the matchups, Puka Nacua has a very strong schedule-adjusted matchup. You just look at the last 5 weeks. Detroit has been very weak against opposing outside wide receivers. DeMarcus Robinson has that same elite matchup. He's only 3,600 in his last, they rested him in week 18. In his last five games, he's gone over 13.5 DraftKings points five times. And he has as many end zone targets as Cooper Kupp and Nacua combined. I believe I mentioned that last week as a potential week 18 play, but they value DeMarcus Robinson so much that he really didn't get any run in week 18. So he's going to project as a really strong value. DraftKings does tend to condense prices on these shorter slates. We've seen that for years, but I think it's fair to say they've gone a little too far with this Kyren Williams pricing. I mean, Detroit's a brutal matchup for opposing running backs, but just looking at this slate, Kyren Williams is earning 27% better usage and is 24% more productive than the next closest slate eligible running back. He's only $400 more than Rashad White. I mean, just absurd value at 7,300 on Kyren.
Yeah. When I opened it up, I was expecting to be what, like 82 or 8,300.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
to see him down at the 7,200, it seems a little ridiculous.
Well, I mean, they've got CeeDee Lamb and Tyreek kind of right. And like, you know, Tyreek's 8.7, Lamb's 9K. Yeah, Kyren's way off. I think you nailed the head, hit the hammer on the head there with DeMarcus Robinson. Him and Khalil Shakir are the two best projected values on DK. Yeah, this is an awesome game. Obviously, double revenge. Stafford coming back home. Goff facing his old team. The only other note I have in this game, just beyond Lions side, is, you know, obviously Lions getting a home game first time since the 90s, but I'm on Rams 3.5. We'll talk through this in a little bit, but like, you know, this team, we've been on Rams for a while. McVay in a playoff game against a burnable Lions secondary. I'm with you guys on Stafford for sure in this game.
It's been 3.5. It's gotten down to 3. Do you think it crosses 3? I don't think it's going to get past 3, right?
No, we're not going to get through 3. I think
everybody in the world is betting the Rams in this one.
Yeah, I think all the Lions fans, though, are going to be taking the 3. I'll be stunned if we see 2.5. I really will.
Yeah,
be.
I don't think so.
We will be. But Lions games have been awesome at home. 6 of the 8 games have scored 50 or more points. Only 2 have gone below 50 were against the Raiders and Aiden O'Connell. Well, I think that was actually the Jimmy Garoppolo game. And against the Falcons, only 2 games go below 50 were Raiders and Falcons. And this game is going to go off. I think 50.5 is like a little too low. I think that's like, this game should be 52, 53.
All right. Maybe that's another, you can definitely talk me into an over against that Lions pass defense with Matt Stafford for sure on that one. All right. Let's get to the final game of the week on Monday night. This game should be on Saturday, right? They should have shifted Saturday, had 3 games. They should have had 3 on Sunday, but they still wanted to do Monday night football. What are we looking at here? So let's say Baker comes out by the end. Oh, he's hurt and he's still going to play. And maybe it's a little worse. Maybe, I don't know. How do you want to play this? I think you want to see the news that comes on that. Jake, do you have anything? Which receiver? Because if this is against the Eagles defense, who's letting Tyrod Taylor just walk all over them, doing whatever he wants to Darius Slayton and Darren Waller, or you got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and White out of the backfield. Is there a specific receiver that looks a little bit better? Is there anyone that you might want to target a little more heavily from the Buccaneer side? And that you can flip that around. The Buccaneers also have a horrific pass defense. What's it looking like if Philadelphia can ever turn it around? This seems like a game they might be able to.
Yeah, I think the Philadelphia side is a lot harder to figure out. On the Tampa Bay side, Mike Evans does have a slightly better matchup overall. Granted, you know, volume's really evened out between him and Chris Godwin in recent weeks. And I think if you think that this Baker Mayfield injury is going to hamper his play, I mean, that could lead to a lower average depth of target. So that could make me like Chris Godwin a little bit more. But yeah, really got to pay attention to the Baker Mayfield news there. Philadelphia has been fairly weak against opposing running backs since week 12, fourth softest schedule adjusted matchup. So that's another angle if you think Baker's hurting, is you could kind of go with a mini stack of Rashad White plus Chris Godwin if you still think Tampa Bay shows up. Because, yeah, I mean, we were normally avoiding running backs against the Philadelphia Eagles defense all season. But as of late, you know, Philly has been a weaker run defense. And I think that, you know, could open things up for Rashad White, who will probably go in, you know, rather underowned on this slate, given Kyron Williams is $400 more and will project for what, four or five more points probably.
Yeah. White, we played him all season when he was cheap. And then he finally duds out for two games in a row when he's priced where we thought he should have been appropriately. So interesting take on that one. Graham, do you have any final thoughts on this Tampa Bay Philly game?
Yeah, Rashad White, 2 weeks ago, snaps were down, back up normal last week. Love that call. So, yeah, not much from this game. Obviously, we're waiting on Devonta Smith news. Was out last week with a high ankle sprain. A.J. Brown seems fine after hurting his knee. After he hurt his knee, the Eagles basically were like, all right, screw it. We're done. We're going to pull everybody. I will note, Bucks do play not a ton of one high, but predominantly one high. They're 55% one high versus 45 two high. That does lend itself to A.J. Brown. He's been one of the best receivers in the NFL against one high coverages, but kind of gets slowed down a little against two high. So something to note, if you're betting that game, I don't think we're going to get props for it anytime until maybe Thursday with all these injuries. But, you know, early look, taking a look at this game Monday night. Should have been on Saturday, you're right. But, hey, we'll take three days of football, right?
Yeah, well, I'll take 7 days of football, but actually, I don't know if they gave me the all days. I want all teams to play every day for football. The season's too short. Yeah, I know it's a very physical game and they can only play once a week. But yeah, I just wish we had more football somehow, but alas, this is what it is. All right, so that was a quick rundown game by game, highlighting a couple players, coverages, et cetera, for you to think about as the week progresses. We'll get to some of our sportsbook picks in just a second, but I got to tell you about our props and pick'em package here at RotoGrinders. You can check out the brand new props and pick'em package. The experts at RotoGrinders projections team take our premium stats and comb through the market for any inefficiencies. Using our model, you can easily see which lines are off, where to find them, and how likely the prop will hit based on our tool. You can check out the link in our description for more info. And also, if you ever wanted spreads and all that other fun stuff, there's scores and odds for all that, where I was the top NFL capper on scores and odds and also on this show, guys. So I had a pretty nice record on this show here. I've got a couple of props for you. Normally I hit you with the spreads and some parlays. Don't really have any of those yet. I think I have talked myself from Graham and Jake into a KC bet, but we won't put that as an official one on the show. Sitting at 34-19-1, a couple of props I'm looking at. We'll call them official. First one, was that stand I was talking about, Baker Mayfield at 232 yards. This is only open on FanDuel, I believe, as it stands right now. And I was talking to Graham pre-show. If you're looking for early lines, you want to be checking FanDuel. They're usually first and they're usually off. For example, Matt Stafford was 260 on Monday. Now he's up into the mid 270s. Opened that up on FanDuel as well. So even if he's hurt against Philadelphia, I think Baker Mayfield can get there. Mike Evans, great matchup. Godwin, all you got to do to get more targets is have your wife start tweeting at the team, and all of a sudden the targets start coming. So we like Chris Godwin in this game. And a couple of the ancillary pieces, you know, we've got Kate Otten. Palmer's been not really interesting for DFS, but he's been serviceable as a third wide receiver. You got Rashad White out of the backfield. Against anything Matt Patricia is going to put together for the Eagles right now, I still think Baker, even at 80%, let's say, is able to get there. So that was my stand. Posted that at Scores and Odds. Another one I have up on there is going to be the Josh Allen rushing yards, right? It's playoff time, and Josh Allen does not care about his body in the playoffs. So we're going to take his rushing line in possible weather. Now, last year, he did have below 30 yards, I think, in both of his playoff games. But what I liked here with Josh Allen was the trend where each of the past two games, I mean, these have basically been must-win games for the Bills down the stretch here. He has his two highest rushing attempts of the season going into these two must-win games. He went over the line in those with the weather, with Josh Allen. Basically, you know, if he goes out for a pass, anything goes wrong, he's going to tuck it and start some running. You're certainly going to see plenty of designed runs from him as well if the weather is a little off and they have to take their foot off the gas in the passing game. I'm going to take his over 35.5. Check your sports books. Looks like it's varying all around. Don't know if DraftKings has a line out yet. But those are two quick ones I'm on. I've got a third we'll come back to in just a second. But let's let these other guys talk. And Graham, what are you seeing in this Matthew Stafford Rams game? I know you're on the plus 3.5. It's coming down to 3. Anything else you want to talk about in that game?
Yeah, I like the 3.5. You could probably tease that, depending on your book, that back up to 3.5 to get the extra hook if you want. I'm not crazy about 3. That's why I took the 3.5. But I think Rams went straight up in this game. Sorry, Lions fans. I've been on Lions this year, but
nice we're plus on 150 on the money line.
Yeah. That might be the play too. One passing over, I absolutely love. This was my stand here is Jordan Love over 240.5, minus 114 over at FanDuel. I mean, FanDuel is just way off here. This should be at like 247.5, 248.5 at minimum. Love's gone over this line in 7 of his last 10 games. Obviously balling out, getting Christian Watson back potentially this week. I know the ghost of Christian Watson and his hamstrings, but hey, we'll take Watson out there lifting the lid for, 10, 15 snaps. Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed, both playing well. He's got two good tight ends. They're going to have to throw in this game. I think Dallas is set up extremely well here to continue to roll at home. So I'm on Love over 240.5. This line is like 25 yards low to me.
Every other sports book, I just followed you into this on this one.
This is a wildly low line here.
Yeah, so take advantage of that. I would assume within several hours, FanDuel will have this in line with the market. So if you are watching this live or you happen to check this on the podcast feed and it's still at 240, I think that's an excellent one. Personally followed Graham into that one. Jake, what are you looking at on the sports books right now?
You're muted, Jake. Uh-oh, he's pulled the Scott Barrett.
Pulled the Scott Barrett. Wow.
Oh, no.
I've been pretty good on this show, man. That's
been awesome, yeah.
That's tough. And end of year, getting hit with the Scott Barrett. Oh, well. Okay, CJ Stroud over 243.5 passing yards. He is absolutely cooked. Single high defenses this year, top 6 in nearly every efficiency metric against single high defenses. Him and Nico Collins have a really great connection when they get man coverage. And no team runs more single high defense or single high coverage shells than the Cleveland Browns. Also, like Puka Nacua, over 73.5 receiving yards. Detroit's been a bottom 6 schedule-adjusted matchup against opposing outside wide receivers since week 12. This game has plenty of shootout potential given the total. Matthew Stafford is playing well. Gotta like Puka Nacua in a potential shootout. And then David Njoku in a great matchup, over 56.5 receiving yards. Houston is the second softest schedule-adjusted matchup for opposing tight ends. They've allowed the most receptions to the position and the 5th most receiving yards. Really solid spot for David Njoku. And I mean, we all know Flacco's throwing for 470 yards in this game, so Njoku only needs a 10% target share to go over.
Flacco, Njoku, Stroud, that seems like a good little same game parlay to throw around, or whatever Prize Picks has. You can go throw it in there and get a little correlation without having to pay for it on the odds. My final bet is I know you like Jaylen Warren, but I'm on the Najee Harris. I think the weather, maybe you can hold off and take the weather and make sure it's bad on Sunday morning, but I'm trying to get ahead of it. I think Kevin Roth, the meteorologist here at RotoGrinders, has a pretty good idea. And when he's putting the weather's going to be something, even on a Tuesday, I tend to trust him pretty good. He's at 58.5 and just 72 carries over the past 3 games. I know you guys talked about the game script a little bit being in his favor, and I know it's a big total, but the Steelers have to come into this game and realize it. Mason Rudolph can't keep lighting his hair on fire and hitting these long touchdowns. And the running game has been going so good once they got rid of Matt Canada. I don't see why they wouldn't try to go continue it and take some of the air out of the ball, control the clock the best they can, and maybe keep it within 7-10 halftime, third quarter. Maybe it's a little closer later. I just think Harris at 58.5 with how good he's been playing, and he does look very good over the past couple of games as well, just seems a little bit too low with the amount of run volume they're having here. And especially if the weather comes in as expected, being cold, windy, with a little bit of snow, I think this is going to creep up into the low 60s. We've already seen a couple of books at the 60s. You've got points bet down at 55.5 currently. If you have access to that and can actually bet there, I think that's a very, very nice bet. But I got this at FanDuel at 58.5. So I think those were the 3 I'm on. I was on Stafford, but all those got moved so high. that I don't really want to put them on here as an official one. And I did mention the Steelers dart throw, right? 0.1 unit, right? If you're normal trying to bet to win 100, throw $10 on the Steelers defensive touchdown with the weather, with Josh Allen's propensity to turn it over. That was plus 1,100 on DraftKings. So a little sprinkle on that one. All right. So that was a couple of sports books bets we were looking at. We also have prize picks. We've got Underdog to talk about too. I know Underdog had the big best ball mania winner. DraftKings had a lot of congrats to all you guys in the best ball streets. Do you guys do that at all? I used to do it religiously pre having a child. And then I had a child and I was like, how does anybody do this when they have like family obligations and things to do with? And it just seems like, I don't know. You set your whole team up to score the most points in the final 3 weeks of the season. It's a lot harder said than done, but I don't know. I like the 12 man groups. I like playing best ball with just like a normal game, not the giant games that they run for tournaments, if that makes sense. I like a little 12 man team, top three payout. That's how I like best ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Underdog is basically a lotto ticket. Like I love Underdog, but the way they have their setup, like if you're trying to grind out ROI, it's probably not on Underdog. There's other avenues if you're playing basketball.
Yeah, I saw some very people I would absolutely listen to anything they have to say about basketball with very large negative ROIs in basketball because that's just the name of the game on that. Very hard to realize it in the end of the season. But great product. But we like to play the pick'em portion of that one. So we've got a couple here. Godwin, 56.5 is on Underdog. I think it was 57.5 on Prize Picks, and I think is line on FanDuel is currently 57.5 as well. So if you'd rather play on FanDuel as a prop than on Underdog, but I like the 56.5 I was able to get on Underdog over there. They did have Josh Allen at 35.5. If you can't get that on a sports book, you can get that over on Underdog. And then I wish the line or the number on Flacco was the price. Prize Picks has him at 270. Underdog has him at 274, but he's going over that anyway. So we're going to tack that on over at Underdog to get a little three pick payout 6x. Godwin over 56.5, Josh Allen over 35.5, and Joe Flacco over 274. Jake, I see you're on the Flacco, you're on the Prize Pick streets, taking some correlation without getting hit for it in the payouts.
Yeah, that's exactly why I am playing a Prize Pick slip this week. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like Prize Picks has Nico Collins receiving props listed, or else I would have thrown him in on this ticket, but still got CJ Stroud over 245.5 receiving yards. As I noted, elite schematic matchup for him. Strong shootout potential here. Also, Puka Nacua over 74.5 receiving yards. You know, similar reasoning. This is a very strong matchup. Totals over 50. Very high likelihood of a potential shootout. Got to go with Joe Flacco. I mean, what's a Prize Picks ticket without the GOAT Joe Flacco over 270.5 there. So I believe that's the best line on the board right now. And then David Njoku over 55.5, you know, highlighted this in the bets section, but hard not to like Njoku against a Houston defense that just can't defend the position.
Man, Njoku is what his sportsbook line's up to 57.5 already, I think. So if you're able to get it on Prize Picks currently, if you're watching live, a nice discount. Anytime you can get a discount right around the number is certainly a nice little thing you can pick up on the fantasy pick'em sites. Graham, you looking at anything on those? Oh, now did you do that on purpose, Graham?
Oh, no, Graham.
Did you do the Scott Barrett on purpose?
Oh, no.
If only Scott was watching right now on YouTube, that would be great.
Look at this. I'm going to have to tell him to go back and rewatch. Nah, I'm out here in Colorado, so I can't see anything. I'm looking at the scores and odds, though. Is this Mason Rudolph 202.5 number real? Is that real on Prize Picks? I'd be hammering the under.
No, it doesn't update as much. I think it's down to they might have even taken it off the board, but it was in like the 170s the last I saw.
Okay. I was about to say, I mean, that would have been like under hammer, but I'm limited out here. So I'm only, I can't even log in. Like Underdog doesn't even allow me to see the markets. It's wild, but it is what it is, man.
All right. So there's a couple DFS takes, some sports betting picks, some fantasy pick'em. We like to do a little bit of everything on the show. Great to have all the coverage matchups that these guys from fantasypoints.com give you access to with their data tool, and they somehow know all of this off the top of their head. I don't know how you guys do this. You're probably just in the sheets 24/7 or in the data tool. Do you use the data tool or your own spreadsheets? How do you guys manage to like know all this stuff on a Tuesday evening?
Definitely most, data suite.
Yeah. Mostly data.
Yeah. Jake, I don't know about you, but it's cut down. Data suite's cut down my spreadsheets by like 95%.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not using a ton of spreadsheets. Well, and it's way easier. The spreadsheets that I do pull are way easier because you can export CSVs exactly as is shown in the data tool, which is super nice. I know a lot of other competitors out there, you hit export and it's just the default, which doesn't help anybody. So yeah, it's
Jake, really, you know, I passed over, we've got a minute or two here, the data tool portion of the show. I know there were a couple of coverage matchups you wanted to talk about here. I have it pulled up. Let's get this in for the people.
Yeah. So if you go to the play filters and scroll down to defense, we have a filter for middle of field look. And if you select single high here, this will only show you, right at the bottom there. This will only show you single high coverage shells, how quarterbacks fare against these. And obviously I was going to use this to point out how CJ Stroud, you know, cooks single high. If you sort by yards per attempt, he's second among all quarterbacks this season against single high. But there were also a couple other quarterbacks who had interesting matchups through this lens. Actually, a lot of teams that made the playoffs ended up with defenses who play a large portion of their defensive snaps in single high coverage shells. So, yeah, as Britt has highlighted right there, might need to set a qualifier to get a few of the backups out of there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we have CJ Stroud, you know, 8.8 yards per attempt against single high, you know, fantasy points per drop back, passer rating, anything. He's top six. But if we sort by fantasy points per drop back, Dak Prescott really pops, also has the highest passer rating against single high. Green Bay runs single high at the NFL's fifth highest rate. So this is a very strong schematic coverage matchup for Dak Prescott. And this stuff matters because oftentimes this won't show up if you just look at, you know, fantasy points against or allowed to quarterbacks, something like that. You know, these coverage matchups won't quite show up, but they absolutely matter for DFS, for props. And then on the opposite end, Josh Allen has been 15% more productive against two high this year relative to single high. Steelers run single high at the fourth highest rate. So this is a poor overall matchup for Josh Allen than some of the on paper numbers may suggest. Granted, you know, I am kind of with Britt and Graham in the sense that Josh Allen's probably just going to run a ton in it. It may not end up mattering.
Yeah. The one thing I'll add too is that I don't think there's any other site that has single high versus two high splits. And this is, it's extremely important because defensive coordinators are trying to mask their coverages, right? You know, they're trying to confuse the quarterback. And, you know, the best way a quarterback pre-snap can determine coverage is by looking at the safeties, right? If you get one high look, it's going to be cover one, cover three, cover one man, cover three zone. Or if you get a two high, you know, you're probably going to see cover two, cover four, cover six, cover eight. This data, I mean, I'm really excited to go look into it in this offseason. Is really, really cool. And when you know there's a team like the Chiefs, like the Packers, that, you know, Packers prefer one high, Chiefs prefer two high, and you know that they're going to run out, you know, 75% that specific safety coverage shell matchup. It's extremely like nitty gritty into the data, but I've been able to find some just massive edges with receiver props this season, betting overs and unders. You know, there's a lot of nuance in matchup coverage, but I think this might be one of the best, like, overarching ways just to kind of get everything in one glimpse. It's great signal, excellent signal. I'm really excited for, you know, next couple of years, really, to see how far we can take, you know, these kind of safety cover splits, see how far we can take them and see, you know, what the signal is.
You just gotta, condense it in ways that people like me
yeah
access it easily, and we know what we're looking at immediately. That's the whole
we're going to be building some tools around just that to kind of like simplify it a little better and get into these numbers a little easier. But yeah, I mean, I'm just blown away, seriously. I know I'm a company man, obviously I'm biased, but I'm blown away at, you know, the just incredible signal that we've been able to pull from some of the data. I feel like we've been able to, you know, analyze the game better than ever this season. And, you know, Jake, I think kind of as a company, our stats have been better than ever. Huge shout out while we've got a second to Brett Whitefield and Chris Wecht behind the scenes. These two dudes grind their faces off so we can get this data. Brett and Chris both chart. We have a charting team that you know, goes behind the scenes. They pull, you know, they watch every single play. They're extremely meticulous about it. So humongous shout out to those guys. For not only just pulling the data, I'm well versed in charting, you know, through yards created. I know it can be a grind. So massive shout out to those guys. And You know, getting this data is just incredible. And so, you know, it's just been a really fun season, and really fun to kind of go through all these tools every single week.
Randy, if I didn't get this stuff for free, I'd probably pay $500 a year for this. Yeah. Maybe more. I don't know. It'd be like a name your price kind of thing.
Yeah, it really truly would be.
Do that in a couple of years, guys. Not anytime soon. Graham, you talk for so long and you gave such a monologue that the people might think we're not going to be back for next week. It sounded like you were signing off for the year, but we will be back for next week for the divisional round. So stay tuned for that. Other than that, guys, we got to wrap this up. It's been fun doing the show this week with you guys. For Jake and Graham, I'm Britt. Thanks for watching, everybody, and we out you.